You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One game down, 81 to go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage, conversation, highlights, in-depth interviews. We have it all right here for you on Locked On Kings. I have the privilege of being your host. My name is Matt George from Sports 1140 KHGK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings here in the California capital. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. I have to start the podcast off by apologizing for not having an episode following opening night yesterday. I had an appearance on the drive in the morning and then had to come back and host the Grant Napier show. So I did not, unfortunately, have any time to sit down and record. I could have done something very, very brief, but it wouldn't have been very professional and wouldn't have been up to the level of standard that I like to have this podcast. So I decided to put it on hold, put on hiatus, and come back and wait and do an episode of the podcast here today. Also, later on today, before the Kings take on the New Orleans Pelicans, I am hosting the Kings pregame show on KHDK called Game Night. If you're listening before 3:30, I will be on the air from 3:30 to 4:30 Pacific time, leading you up to Sacramento Kings pregame at 4:30, and then tip off at 5 o'clock from the Smoothie Center with the G-Man. Or sorry, no, G-Man is not on the call. It's actually Jason Ross on the call tonight, as G-Man is being inducted into a Hall of Fame in San Francisco here today. So a lot of great stuff to talk about. I'm going to share with you in just a second all the highlights from the opening night game. I'll share with you my good and bad from the game. Good news is there's more good than there was bad. I was actually very pleased and very happy with the Kings' effort. There was a Sacramento Bee article that came out today that has an interview with Kings owner Vivek Ranadive, and there's one part I want to share with you specifically about that, because he was asked if Vlade's job is safe, and his response to the question is a little interesting, so I'm going to share that with you. Also, I have to let you know about the videos that are now on KHDK, or one is coming and one is up now. I lost my blind optimist challenge and had to suffer a bucket of ice cold water, which you can go check out right now on KHDK.com, and more. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Let's start first with the highlights from the home opener in Sacramento, Kings and Utah Jazz. Here is the G-Man, Gary Gerald.
Here's Heald now, just above the free throw line, 17-footer. Right on target. Buddy Hield, 2 for 2. He has 4 points. Kings have a 14-2 lead against the Utah Jazz. 4.5 minutes gone on opening night. Rubio cruises toward the left angle, lobs inside to Gobert. Bad pass, grabbed by Jackson. Kings have numbers if they push. To De'Aaron Fox, Crowder to beat. Now he slows, hits a trailing jumper, steps into three. He's got the triple. The Kings have their biggest lead of the ball game as Iman Shumpert on the transition push hits the triple. It's 25-9 in favor of the Kings. 25-12 in favor of the Kings. Fox drives, rejected by Gobert, his first block of the ball game. Fox tried to get it up high over the long arms of Gobert, and Gobert at the other end with an entry pass from Exum gets a quick jam. So just like that, Kings denied at one end, give up two on the flush by Gobert. It's 25-14. Willie Cauley-Stein enters on the bounce now to Marvin Bagley. Got room to work. Digs to his left. Plants for the jump hook. He's got his first NBA basket. Marvin Bagley the third going against Rudy Gobert with a left-hand jump hook. Well-timed and in good deliberate fashion. Good mechanics, and he was able to score it. Joe Engels with a drive and a baseline cut to Exum. Throws out on the wing. Here's Burke. Drop pass inside. Easy flush. Derek Favors. The extra pass for Utah results in a 9-0 run. It's now 27-23 in favor of Sacramento, and the Kings have taken timeout. Kings got 4 seconds to get a quick strike. Here comes Mason against Dexon. Puts on the brakes. Pulls up. 3-point arc. He's got the bucket. His time expires. Call on the floor. Basket is good. Frank Mason, who was just superb in the preseason, hitting 8 of 13 three-point attempts, just hit a big one here, a buzzer beater to give the Kings the advantage, 34-30 after the first 12 minutes of play. Turnover Sacramento. Ingles transition three. He's got the hoop, and Utah has its biggest lead of the evening. They're up by 4 at 42-38. Joe Ingles has 12 points, and the Jazz have made 6 of 9 three-point shots. here and behind the back of the dribble, frees up, 20-footer. He's got the hoop on the left wing. What a pretty move. So subtle, yet so quick and definitive. Behind the back with the dribble, freed up and buried the 20-footer right wing. 4:50 and counting in this second quarter. Ricky Rubio drives underneath the basket, hooks the pass out to Jay Crowder on the left wing. Looking for Rubio, finds him, sets the screen. Ricky hesitates, back to Crowder, quick release for three. Score it again. Bielitsa was there to challenge this time. Boy, Utah's been terrific in this first half from downtown. They're 9 of 14 from distance, and they now lead it by 11, 55-44. Here's Rubio back quickly, sets up a alley-oop, knocked away by Willie Cauley-Stein. They were trying to go to Favors. Here come the Kings, trailing by 10, 71-61. Heel with a cross-court feed, corner three. Yogi Ferrell with a triple. 71-64, Quinn Snyder will take a timeout. So the Kings were down 13 to start play a minute and 48 seconds ago, and now they're down by 7. Now over to Cauley-Stein. Shook the knees like he was going to shoot it from the circle. Now he drives, spins, left-hand rim. He's got the bucket. That's a terrific take to the basket against Rudy Gobert, the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year by Willie Cauley-Stein. Big hoop. 71-68. 11 unanswered for the Kings. This is basically the way they started the ball game tonight. Exum back out to Ingles. 4 on the clock. Going to have to create. Launches over heel. No good. Rebound. Bielitsa. Big possession for the Kings. Belly kicks it up the left side. Digs now to the edge of the paint. Reaches inside at the rim. He scores. We're on a one-point ball game at 73-72. Nemanja Bielitsa in his Kings debut has 13 points. One-point Utah lead. Ingles with a drive and a kick, and the ball is stolen. It's grabbed by Yogi Ferrell. Races the front court. Transition three. He's got the triple. Yogi Ferrell, welcome to California's capital city. Kings on an 18-2 run have regained the lead at 75-73. Out of the timeout, the elites, the left side of the lane, sets up the alley-oop. Spike it down, Willie Cauley-Stein. Look at the Kings bench. Everybody in purple down there jumping up and enjoying that moment. 109-103. The relentless march of the clock continues. 4:30. Driving, whirling dervish. What a move by Donovan Mitchell. A full pirouette in the paint and a scoop and a score makes it 111-103. 18 points for the man who finished second last year in the Rookie of the Year balloting. Here's Ingles looking off the defense. Drive, circles under the basket, out to Mitchell, uncovered for three, and he hits the three. That is a dagger right there. Inside 4 minutes to go. Donovan Mitchell with 21 and the Jazz with an 11-point lead. And this ball game is over. Well, an entertaining opening night finds the Utah Jazz defeating the Sacramento Kings. It's the sixth straight regular season win for Utah against Sacramento. Final score is 123-117.
It was hard not to be pleased with the Sacramento Kings' performance from top to bottom in the home opener, especially because only 6 days before that, they had hosted the Utah Jazz for a preseason game and gotten the absolute crap beat out of them. It was a blowout from start to finish. The Kings starters were absolutely outmatched by Utah. So to have this starting unit come out the way that they did in the first quarter, taking an 18-4 lead at one point, their largest lead was 16 in the first quarter, and then to do the same thing coming out of the third quarter. Remember, the start of the first and third quarters have been a big major issue with this team over all of last season and during the preseason at times, and Dave Yeager said as much during his pregame press conference before the opening night matchup against Utah. But for some reason, that starting unit consisting of De'Aaron Fox, Yogi Ferrell, Buddy Hield, Nemanja Bielitsa, and Willie Cauley-Stein really rose to the occasion and completely outplayed Utah's starters, including Donovan Mitchell, who did finish with 24 points, but did so on 21 shots, if I'm not mistaken. He was very inefficient shooting from the field. And then Rudy Gobert, who really was outmatched at times by Willie Cauley-Stein. Willie, to me, was absolutely fantastic, and he's going to start off my good and my bad takeaways from this home opener. Willie Cauley-Stein was fantastic. I liked the mindset, the effort that he played with, and the fearlessness that he attacked Rudy Gobert. Now, the question is consistency, and that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit later when we are previewing this Kings and New Orleans Pelicans battle tonight, is how consistent is this team top to bottom? But if Willie Cauley-Stein can hand you the effort consistently that he gave you in the home opener against the Utah Jazz, the Kings are going to be in really good shape with him, and he's either going to be a valuable piece that the Kings could shop at the trade deadline to try and get a draft pick or two, or he is someone that could be more than worth the money re-signing him and bringing him back here to Sacramento. I love the effort that he showed, the fearlessness that he played with. It may have been one of his most complete games of his entire career, and he was that anchor for the Kings. Consistently, they would go to him, and he provided a lot of good minutes. The starting unit as a whole, though, was absolutely fantastic, and it was their defense that got things going. Now, I tweeted this out, because I'm not naive, and I am an optimistic guy, but I'm not naive to say that the Kings can be a good defensive team, because I don't think that's the case. However, they can play good defense in spurts when they want to if they give maximum effort. And that's a lot of what we saw out of the Kings to open the game up. Yogi Ferrell, he was very undersized guarding Donovan Mitchell. But as Mitchell would attack the basket, Yogi Ferrell was doing a good job to stay in front of him and get both hands in his face. He's not going to block Donovan Mitchell's shot, but he's going to make things as difficult as possible. And Yogi Ferrell did a phenomenal job at that starting two spot to not give Donovan Mitchell any room to be comfortable. And Donovan Mitchell, you could see his shots weren't falling because of it. Defensively, the Kings did a great job also closing out on open three-point shooters. The three-point shooting percentage for the Utah Jazz won't reflect that entirely, but they would have had more open threes had the Kings not closed out as well as they did. Their rotations are still a little bit slow, still a question mark there about how good this team can be if they play that physical defense trying to rotate. But all in all, I was very pleased with the defensive effort from the Kings, and it was because of that defensive effort that the Kings were able to get out and transition and play fast so much. Now, I was working with the Utah Jazz Radio, and I was working with David Locke. He's also the host of the Locked On Jazz podcast. And David, one of the things he said it actually a couple of times during the broadcast, was that the Kings were playing at such a fast pace and getting up the floor so fast that they weren't allowing that really solid Utah Jazz defense to set up. And that is the best way to attack a team that is as defensively sound as the Utah Jazz are. Rudy Gobert is an absolute presence in the paint, and he was still a presence on opening night. However, the Kings did a good job to beat him down the floor at times. He's still a 7-foot center and one of the slower guys on the floor. So if you can beat him down the floor and not allow him to get set there in the paint or on the block, then you have a good chance to get to the rim and not have to worry about him blocking your shot or at least changing your shot. And the Kings did that very well, and it started with their defense. Transition play was fantastic. Another one of the good things on my list. They were looking to push the break right away. Every single person on the floor, whether it was on the bench or in that starting unit, was willing and ready to push the tempo. And I was very pleased to see De'Aaron Fox, Willie Cauley-Stein, and everybody from top to bottom really making it a complete effort to work the ball down the floor as fast as possible. I was very impressed with Nemanja Bjelica. Nemanja Bjelica, formerly a point guard, played point guard a lot throughout his career, at least in Europe before he had his growth spurt, started playing the stretch four position, then coming to the NBA. But Nemanja Bjelica was even one of the primary ball handlers sometimes, working his way up the floor, and he did a great job attacking the basket as well. Was a tough handle for Derek Favors. I really liked what I saw out of Nemanja Bjelica. I think the Kings' two starting bigs in Bjelica and Willie Cauley-Stein were absolutely fantastic and phenomenal. One of my major concerns, though, one of my major bads about this game, was the mid-range shooting. The Kings have a ridiculous tendency to take a lot of mid-range shots. Now, you also have to take what the defenses give you. And Utah Jazz defense is so good that oftentimes what they're going to give you is not always going to be the best shot. The Sacramento Kings got a lot of their best looks from mid-range, so I recognize that. However, they did a lot better job in the second half. But in that first half, the Kings took, I had an unofficial count, just a tally mark that I was keeping, of 21 mid-range jumpers, and about half of them were contested shots. The mid-range shot has become more and more obsolete in the game because it's worth the same amount of points as a layup in the paint. If you can get to the paint, do that. If not, if you're going to take a shot, a jumper, you should probably try and make it beyond the three-point line because when you do hit, obviously it's worth more points. The mid-range shot has always been a go-to for the Kings, and they really relied on it a lot in the first half. Like I said, in the second half, did a better job to tone it back a little bit. But I was very disappointed with the amount of mid-range shots and how that seemed to be the go-to for this Kings offense. Now, the Kings did have a great shooting night, shot over 50%. However, even though they were shooting well on these questionable shots, they still allowed the Utah Jazz to, in half a quarter, close a 16-point lead and turn it into only a 4-point lead. Utah did a great job of battling back in the game while the Kings were still shooting at a high percent. Now, Utah's second unit significantly outplayed the Kings, and a lot of that had to do with the great play of Jay Crowder and Dante Exum off of the bench. Both of those guys were really too much for the Kings bench unit to handle. There's a big question of where was the scoring going to come from with that second unit, seeing as how Buddy Hield was playing as the starting three. Minutes distribution is always going to be something with Dave Joerger that we look at and dissect. And sometimes I think it's overblown, but on opening night, I don't think it was. I like the starting five that Joerger ended up rolling with. And I understand the fact that even though he's the number two overall pick in the draft, that doesn't necessarily mean that Marvin Bagley had the right or was expected to be a starter. But I certainly expected more than 12 minutes. Now, if you were to tell me that he didn't get in the game and only played 12 minutes because Nemanja Bjelica and Willie Cauley-Stein were playing as well as they were, I would have been okay with it. Where I wasn't okay with it was the fact that Justin Jackson got 30 minutes off the bench. Justin Jackson was in the top three in minutes played, and he was off of the bench. Now, I don't know how much I agree with the fact that Marvin Bagley can play small forward. I know Vlade made that offhanded comment when they drafted him, and I understand the appeal of positionless basketball. So the 20 minutes that Justin Jackson got at the small forward position, I'm okay with Bagley not taking those minutes from him. However, Justin Jackson played 10.5 minutes at the power forward position, at the four. 10.5 minutes of what did he do? He spaced the floor. Now, I understand that him spacing the floor because he's a better three-point shooter than Marvin Bagley, or at least he's capable of hitting more three-point shots than Marvin Bagley. I understand that that helps guys like De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein and Nemanja Bjelica get more open opportunities from mid-range, and the Kings certainly took advantage of that for the majority of their shots. However, Justin Jackson defensively didn't do a good job guarding Jay Crowder or Joe Ingles. Ingles was the hero for the Jazz, and the reason why the Jazz were able to work their way back into the game so quickly is because they elected to live or die by the three-point shot, and boy, were they living. They were hitting a lot of three-pointers, and not all of them were wide open. A good amount of them were contested, which is a credit to the Kings' defense. However, Utah was just not going to miss from three-point range, especially Joe Ingles, who had a fantastic night. But Justin Jackson didn't do anything to me in those 10.5 minutes at the power forward spot other than space the floor. So what you're telling me is, had you put Marvin Bagley in that position, how much more of a defensive liability would he have been? So he would have been probably guarding either Joe Ingles or Jay Crowder or Derek Favors. Justin Jackson was incapable of guarding all three of them as well. Marvin Bagley also gave you 6 points in just 12 minutes, was efficient. Also, two of those baskets came in the post against Jay Crowder, and the third was on an offensive rebound putback, which is exactly what you want from him. Justin Jackson getting 30 minutes and 10.5 minutes at the power forward position is essentially playing 4-on-5 basketball, in my opinion. Now, I don't want to bash on the kid, and I understand that this may be his last opportunity with the fact that Bogdan Bogdanovic is out. And if Bogey is playing in this game, there's no chance in hell that Justin Jackson is playing 30 minutes. So let's make that perfectly clear. Justin Jackson is playing the amount of time that he is playing because the Kings are shorthanded with Bogey being out. So I don't fault Jackson in that sense, and I don't fault Dave Joerger for finding minutes for Double J. But I do fault Joerger for trying this smaller lineup and only being able to find 12 minutes for the number two pick in the draft. Dave Yeager was coaching to win that game. Marvin Bagley played 9 minutes in the first half and then played the first 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, was subbed out, and that was it. Justin Jackson played the remainder of the fourth. Nobody would have blamed you if you had played Bagley for the first 8 minutes of that fourth quarter, and instead of losing by just six, you lost by 10 to 12. I would argue that it wouldn't have made that much of a difference, seeing as how Justin Jackson didn't do that much better of a job defensively than Bagley would have done. I get the defense is a concern, but if you are going to play a player specifically for spacing the floor, you are basically determining and deciding that you are going to play 4-on-5 basketball offensively and use your fifth guy to just open up space. He's there to stand and potentially get a kick out, which he very rarely did. So Marvin Bagley, to me, needs to play more than 12 minutes in this game. I needed to see Marvin Bagley at least for a majority of that fourth quarter or half of that fourth quarter. And you could see he was visibly frustrated on the bench. He said said as much in his post-game comments with the media that he was trying to stay patient. He understood, which he said all the right things. And Dave Yeager said as much that it's going to be tough to find minutes for Bagley. And it was tough to find minutes for Bagley when Nemanja Bjelica and Willie Cauley-Stein were playing as well as they were. But I really cannot comprehend how Justin Jackson gets 30 minutes in that game. And I'm hoping that tonight, even though it's against Anthony Davis and another really good front court in New Orleans, Julius Randle there as well, I expect more than 12 minutes for Marvin Bagley tonight. Marvin Bagley is expected to be one of your key pieces going forward. Justin Jackson will be lucky to be a role player on an NBA team in his career, and I don't mean to be brutally honest, that's what it is. Justin Jackson has not shown enough. Also, another part of the bit here. If Justin Jackson is going to be playing at the stretch four spot and you're using him offensively strictly to space the floor, you're going to need him to collect assists or collect rebounds. And Jackson does none of that. All Jackson does, he's extremely one-dimensional. All he does is shoot and score, which is good in spurts off the bench when you need it. But 30 minutes is not a spurt, and he still didn't score. You got to find minutes for Marvin Bagley. Now, you also found minutes for Harry Giles. He didn't do too well, got into foul trouble, so it was a bit of a rough debut for Harry. So I'm going long on one of the negatives because ultimately it was a very positive night for the Kings. I'm very pleased with how the starters played. I think I would expect the same starting lineup tonight here in New Orleans, and I don't think anybody's going to fault Dave Yeager for that. I was really pleased with the fact that I don't know what's going on with Zach Randolph. We know for a fact that he is not hurt, but he has been listed as inactive on opening night, and he didn't play at all during the preseason. I appreciate the fact that Dave Yeager is going for the majority of the time with these younger guys. And say what you want about him playing Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson is at least one of those younger guys. So I appreciate him doing that and not leaning too heavily on his veterans. The Kings, all in all, turned in a fantastic performance on opening night. There was a lot to like. I'm really, I think, going to become a quick fan of Nemanja Bjelica if he can continue to play that well. And I'm very interested to see how Willie Cauley-Stein responds here, if he can develop that consistency and turn in just as good of an effort. He doesn't have to put up the same numbers against New Orleans tonight than he did against Rudy Gobert in the home opener, because I also recognize he's playing the first game of the season in front of a home crowd. The energy is there. The excitement is there. So I don't necessarily expect the same numbers, but I expect the same effort and the same intensity. And that's top to bottom, not just with Willie, with this entire team. That's why I'm really interested to watch this game tonight against New Orleans to see who is this team really? What are they? Are they consistently what they gave opening night effort-wise? Or is that just a spurt of energy by a young team to start the season, feeding off of the crowd, and now that they're on the road, that's going to step back a little bit? Because if it does, if the Kings don't play with that energy consistently, they're not going to win a lot of games. But if they play with that energy consistently, they're going to surprise some teams just like they surprised the Utah Jazz, and the Utah Jazz had to scratch and claw and fight for that victory. David Locke And the Utah Jazz broadcast team said as much themselves. Utah Jazz were scared a little bit by how the Kings came out of the break. Ultimately, the better team won, which is what you would expect. But what did we want from the Kings this year other than wins? We wanted them to be competitive. And the Kings were more than competitive on opening night. And they're not even full strength. When Bogdan Bogdanović comes back, who knows if he's going to be taking Buddy Hield's spot at the starting three? And Buddy Hield will be the scorer that the Kings need off the bench? Maybe he and Buddy play together, Bogey and Buddy play together at the two and the three alongside De'Aaron Fox in the starting lineup, and Yogi Ferrell comes off the bench? A lot of things that this team still needs to figure out, but the point is they were that competitive at home against the Utah Jazz, the best defensive team in the league. They put up 117 points against the best defensive team in the league without one of their key ball handlers, shooters, and facilitators in Bogdan Bogdanović. And with Zach Randolph sitting on the bench. To me, that's an absolute win. I was very pleased with the Kings. The only things I have to nitpick are the mid-range shooting, and I'm a little concerned with the fact that Justin Jackson played 30 minutes and Bagley only found 12. But that could all change tonight really quickly in New Orleans, so we'll have to just wait and see how the Kings do in the Smoothie King Center against the Pelicans. Vivek Ranadive did an interview with the Sacramento Bee, and it was a great article. I encourage you to check it out right now if you do have time. Actually, wait till the end of the podcast or pause the podcast, read the article, and then come back. But there's one blurb specifically from this article that I wanted to share with you. Vivek Ranadive was asked about Vlade Divac's job security. And this is what he said. He said, quote, "Vlade is a Sacramento legend. He's a Kings legend, and he's just a great guy. And right now, the way I see it, he's put the team in a position to have some exciting times ahead of us. I'm very excited about the young players, our rookie Marvin Bagley, the guys we got last year in the draft, and I think it will be exciting to watch the team this year." To me, Vivek Ranadive said a lot of great things in that passage. However, he also kind of dodged the question. Vlade said, after the DeMarcus Cousins trade, that in 2 years, a.k.a. in the 2019 season, or by the start of the 2019 season, if the Kings weren't in a better position than what they were with DeMarcus Cousins, now that can be, you can look at that with a lot of different parameters. Does that mean record-wise? Does that mean wins? Does that mean roster construction? Does that mean ceiling? Best-case scenario? But ultimately, Vlade said that if the Kings were in a better position 2 years from now, from the DeMarcus trade, that he would step down. Vivek didn't say at all in that entire passage that Vlade's job was secure. However, he did compliment the moves that Vlade had made, which I think is a great thing for an owner to do. Vivek seemingly has taken a massive step back over the last couple of seasons in involvement in decisions. Now, I'm sure there's plenty behind closed doors that we don't know about, and that's how it's supposed to be. But I am still of the belief, and I think everybody should expect, that Vlade and Dave Yeager's jobs will probably be decided by the trade deadline. I also thought it was interesting that Vivek said, and this interview took place after the Kings' home opener. So I think it's interesting that Vivek specifically pointed out that he's excited to watch the young guys play. And the fact that Marvin Bagley only played 12 minutes suggests that, now Dave Yeager wasn't mentioned in this article, but suggests that maybe Vivek and Vlade and the Kings' front office weren't too pleased with what Yeager decided to do. Now, it's one game, so I don't mean to harp on Yeager, and I'm still very confident in Dave Yeager as the head coach. And it's one game, and he looked at matchups, and he said, this is going to give us probably the best chance to win. I'm going with this. If it doesn't work, it's on me. And it didn't work. They lost. Now, if Marvin Bagley consistently through the first month of the season is only playing 12 minutes a game, then there's concern there, and in my opinion, that would be nothing short of open rebellion against what the Kings front office is trying to do. And if Yeager wants to try that, I don't think he'll have a job very long. And I think Yeager knows that as much. I think he was just coaching to try and win that game on opening night, and the better team won. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But it's interesting that Vivek kind of danced around that question a little bit, but ultimately still complimented Vlade. So take what you want out of that article. You can check out the full article right now on the Sacramento Bee. Also, you're going to want to check out this article that Tim Maxwell wrote for Sactown Royalty. He's the Sactown Baby Giraffe. You know him as that on Twitter. Tim Maxwell wrote an interesting article with a lot of perspective and his opinion on Bagley only playing 12 minutes and how that's a poor reflection on the Kings organization. Tim Maxwell will be joining me at 4 o'clock today on KHDK during game night, and we'll discuss that further. So if you have time, if you listen to this podcast before that 4 o'clock interview, check out that article really quick and then tune in, because he and I will be discussing that in detail, because we've been at odds with each other over a lot during this offseason, but I think we're pretty even or on point with one another. We agree with the majority of how the Kings handled this situation. Now, it's a one-game sample size, so we both have to be careful not to overreact, but it's a great article. I highly encourage you to check it out and then come back and listen to game night starting at 3:30 going until 4:30. Then Kings pregame starts at 4:30 to 5 o'clock, and the tip-off with Jason Ross on the call from the Smoothie King Center on Sports 1140 KHDK. So be sure to tune in for that. Also, yes, I lost my Blind Optimist Challenge wager number one. I bet that Marvin Bagley would score more points than Luka Doncic. Doncic had a very bad night. He scored, well, okay, very bad is a stretch. I need to be fair here. Luka Doncic had a rough night offensively shooting. He had only 10 points on 16 shots, which wasn't the best night for him. However, he did get 8 rebounds as well, so he made up for it with 8 rebounds and 4 assists. He did turn the ball over 4 times as well. He's a rookie. We have to remember, he's a rookie. He played in his first NBA game, and the Phoenix Suns looked great. Marvin Bagley only scored 4 less points, though, and Luka played 31 minutes. Bagley played 12. So, also, some of my frustrations with Dave Joerger only playing Bagley 12 minutes are selfishly having to do with the fact that I believe had Bagley played those 10.5 minutes that Justin Jackson played, finishing him around 22, 23 minutes, I have to believe that Bagley probably would have scored more than 10 points based off of his per 36 minutes numbers and based off of what he showed in those limited 12 minutes. So that's just that. But I lost the bet, fair and square, no excuses about it. And so yesterday, right after the drive at the KHDK Studios, I had a bucket of ice water dumped on me by Carmichael Dave, and you can go check that out right now on KHDK's YouTube channel. It's also on KHDK.com. You can find it on my Twitter, too, at MattGeorgeKHDK, and check it out and enjoy that. The next wager is coming soon. I'll let you know when that is up and when that is official. The next one is scheduled for when the Lakers are here in November, but that might be too long. We might do another one before that, depending upon how the season is going. Also, I am currently working on editing a behind-the-scenes video of me at opening night, covering opening night, and working opening night, which will be up on KHDK's YouTube channel probably early next week, if not this weekend. So I'll let you know when that is up, and you can go and check that out as well on the KHDK YouTube channel. You can see from my perspective how opening night went. Short video, a little bit of fun, but gives you guys some perspective of what I get to do and the amazing job that I have working and covering the Sacramento Kings team, which I love. So check all of that out when you get the chance. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I apologize for not having an episode yesterday, but we will be back for an episode on Monday covering everything that happened this weekend. And then I'll be doing my best to make sure it is daily as much as possible here. It's all hands on deck on KHDK as well. So in the times that I do need to work and cover on KHDK, I might not always be able to turn out a quality episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Not trying to make excuses. I'll do everything I can to make sure we get podcasts up, but that is the reason why we didn't get one up yesterday. So I apologize about that. I appreciate everybody that uses this podcast as their daily fix of Sacramento Kings basketball. It means a lot to me. I met a lot of you on opening night, and I expect to meet so many more of you at this Memphis Grizzlies game coming up next week, and also the Washington Wizards game and games after that. So please, if you're at the game and you want to meet me, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, reach out to me there, or you can email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I'll do everything in my power to come and see you, find you, shake your hand. Thank you for listening to the podcast and talk a little Kings with you before we watch the game together. So thank you for listening. I appreciate all the love and support. We will watch this Kings team hopefully turn in the same consistent effort that they gave on opening night tonight on the road in New Orleans against the Pelicans, who are coming off of a big win over the Houston Rockets. This is the Pelicans' home opener tonight, so I expect there to be a good energy out there at the Smoothie King Center. Should be a lot of fun. We'll break it all down, have highlights and everything for you when we come back on Monday. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.